appreciated the video a little bit ago challenging us to invite people for Easter service that is coming up. And also, might I encourage you to be praying for that service as we're just a couple of weeks away. You may have noticed in our recent newsletter the memory verse that has been chosen for the month of April. It's taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. I'd like for you to read it with me as it's on the screen, the first verse at the top. Read it with me, please. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. That's from the New American Standard Bible. And as you can see on the screen, I have listed for you a couple of other translations of that same verse. The NIV says it this way: follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. The New King James Version says it this way: imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Whichever translation you use, it's quite a challenge for us. And of course, Paul was writing this letter to the Christians at Corinth. He's saying to them, you walk in my footsteps as I walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Another way to put it would be this: follow me as I follow Christ. I'm wondering, can you say that to your kids and grandkids? Follow me as I follow Christ. Can you say that to your friends? Can you say that to those that you work with, to those that you go to school with? Will you follow me as I follow Jesus? The Holy Spirit wants to help us follow Jesus. He wants to help us be like Jesus. And that's my emphasis to you today. The Holy Spirit will help us become like Jesus. He will help us become imitators of Jesus. Let me read to you from Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16, reading through verse 25. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Now, you notice from this passage of Scripture that there is a war going on. And the war is over you and me. And the two who are fighting that war are Satan versus God. The unholy spirit versus the Holy Spirit. And you and I decide who it is that we are going to give ourselves to. Notice the fruit of the unholy spirit. Paul refers to it as the deeds of the flesh, and I have those deeds listed for you on the board behind me. It's the very lifestyle that the world is living. It's the lifestyle that the world is calling us to. And so many people around us, this is how they are living. Immorality, as you see, it's first on the list. And then it's followed by all kinds of pure impurity and sensuality. And if we are not listening to the voice of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, who is inside of us, it is so easy, it is so natural for us to just go down that road of the flesh. And I want you to know, according to what the Scripture says, if that's the road we are traveling down, we will not enter the kingdom of God. Paul doesn't waste any words here. He's very clear in what he writes, and I want to be clear to you as well. Please hear me say this. Lust and impurity and immorality lead to spiritual death. The world says, oh, it's okay. I mean, just go with your feelings. If it feels good, do it. Do your own thing. Just follow your instincts. But the world is deceived by the father of lies, and that road of lust leads to damnation. No one can enter the kingdom of heaven who is traveling down that road. And the same could be said about idolatry. And that doesn't mean that we have to be bowing down to a wooden statue. Most of us aren't going to do that. But that's not all that idolatry is. Idolatry is when we put something before God. Money can be an idol. Our work can be an idol. Our stuff can be an idol. And anything that we give ourselves to other than to God is an idol. And the Scripture says if we are practicing idolatry, if we are living for something besides God, then we will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Scripture goes on. It mentions jealousy. It mentions outburst of anger. It mentions quarreling and giving ourselves towards selfish ambition. Let me read this passage to you from the New Living Translation, verses 19 through 21. It says, when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have told you before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. You say, how in the world, Kevin, can somebody be saved? I mean, who of us has not fallen to these kinds of sins? Shannon said it earlier as he was welcoming us, that we're all sinners. We've all gathered here. We are good at sinning. Who of us has not been selfish? Who of us has not been having an outburst of anger? Who of us has not had factions and division? The fact is, we are all sinners. We have fallen short of God's perfect will. And so let me say to you a couple of things, and then I want to get more to this living by the Holy Spirit. The first thing I would say in answer to the question that I've asked is simply this: God's grace is bigger than our disgrace. And that's good news. Yes, we are guilty of all of these sins that have been listed for us, these deeds of the flesh. We are guilty of these sins, but God's grace is bigger than our disgrace. And you've heard me say that many times in my preaching, and I will continue to say that because it's true. And it happens to be one of my very favorite sayings. His grace is bigger than our disgrace, praise the Lord. We do fall to sin, but he lifts us up. That's what the cross was all about. His grace covers our sins when we surrender ourselves to him. Something else that I want to say to you. Paul is talking about the person who practices this kind of living. You know, it's one thing for us to stumble and fall into sin, and we realize it, and then we repent. We feel bad about what we have done or what we have said, and we go to Him and we say, God, I'm sorry. I am a sinner. I need Your forgiveness. And then we pick ourselves up with His help, and we try to live for Him again. It's one thing for that to be true of our life. It's quite a different thing is for us to just dive headfirst into sin, not really caring whether it hurts God or not. And so this is what Paul is talking about when he says, if you practice these things, if you live this kind of lifestyle, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. We can't let that be true of us. We cannot be that person who intentionally chooses to live in and practice sin. That person will not enter the kingdom of God. There is a better alternative, and that is living in the Spirit. We need to choose to walk in the Spirit. And I hope you saw that in verse 16. It says, but I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. We read that verse a few weeks ago as we talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome sin and temptation. Satan dangles all of these temptations in front of us. You remember, he is the father of lies. He is the God of destruction. And that's what he wants to do for you and me. He wants to destroy us. And so he dangles these temptations in front of us. And we need the Holy Spirit's help, listening to the Holy Spirit's voice, and He will strengthen us. He will empower us to say no to those temptations. It's hard, though, to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice when our world is so loud around us. Let me read to you from this book that it's called Forgotten God. And the forgotten God that is being referenced in the title is the Holy Spirit. The book is written by Francis Chan. I've been reading on it here just recently. And there's a part here that I want to read to you. He says this, multitasking has become the norm. When was the last time you had an uninterrupted conversation with anyone? No phones, text messages, or to-do lists running through your mind. It's so rare nowadays to be able to look someone in the eye without interruption or distraction. A while back, I found myself talking on the phone, emailing on my laptop, and playing Wii with my daughter all at the same time. In my quest to accomplish much, I've lost the art of focusing on one thing or one person. This, in turn, has affected my prayer life, and I'm sure it has affected yours. I find it harder to simply be with God, to focus only on Him while spending intentional time with Him. While Jesus didn't have to deal with emails, voicemails, or text, He certainly understood what it meant to have multitudes of people pursuing Him at once. At any given time of the day, people were looking for Jesus. Because of the priority of His relationship with His Father, He found ways to escape. He took the time to focus and be quiet. He was willing to remove Himself from people's reach in order to pray and commune with God the Father. Our lack of intimacy often is due to our refusal to unplug and shut off communication from all others so that we can be alone with Him. Is this hitting you like it is me? In the craziness of our world, it takes tremendous effort to find a quiet place. It takes time to quiet your mind and your heart before the Lord. It means turning off the music, the television, or your cell phone. It might mean going outside to your favorite spot. For some, this is curling up inside in the only place where you find privacy. For others, it might mean heading to whatever wilderness is nearest to you or booking a few days at a local retreat center. I don't know exactly what it will look like for you to be still before the Lord, but I do know that no matter what your personality, it is a spiritual discipline to be still, to listen, and to cut out the distraction of our world. As we practice this stillness, this waiting, this being, it is then that we can experience deep intimacy and relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I'm saying, oh my, is that truth? Because our lives are so busy. Our lives are so filled with noise that it's hard for us to settle down, to settle in and focus upon Jesus, to be quiet enough to hear the Holy Spirit speaking to us. The Holy Spirit wants to grow us into the likeness of Jesus. He wants to help us grow this spiritual fruit that is mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. But it's hard for us to grow spiritually if there's so much noise in our minds and in our hearts. Noise from the world. And I see this in my own life. I sit down in the morning on the couch early in the morning and to pray to God. And my cell phone's there, and it's so tempting to just, I'm going to look here on the cell phone and see what's going on in the world. And then I'll think of somebody, I'm going to text them and tell them I'm praying for them. And yet I need to take some time, some quiet time, to focus on Him and to let Him speak to me and lead me in His ways. Did you catch from Galatians 5 the fruit of the Spirit that Paul was challenging us to grow in? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You count them. There's 9 character qualities there that God wants to grow you and me in. 9 character qualities, 9 attributes of Jesus' life. That's what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's the life of Jesus. This is His character. The Holy Spirit wants to grow these characteristics in our life. Those character qualities should be spilling out of our lives. A little girl said to her mother one day after church, "Mommy, I didn't understand the preacher's sermon today." The mom answered, "Well, in what way, honey?" "Well, the preacher said that God is bigger than us. Is that right?" "That's right, honey," the mom said. But the preacher said, too, that God lives inside of us. Is that right?" "Yes, honey, that's right," the mom said. "Well, if God is bigger than us and God is inside of us, then wouldn't God be spilling out all over us?" I think she was onto something there. She was exactly right. God should be spilling out all over us. His character qualities, which is really what the fruit of the Spirit is, these are the character qualities of Jesus. They should be spilling out all over us because of who lives inside of us. The character quality of love should be spilling out from us. Is that true for you? Is it true for me? I need to ask myself the question, is love spilling out from me all over? Sometimes, maybe. Sometimes, maybe not. And I should work on those times when it's not spilling out all over the place, and have those times be fewer and fewer when it's not. And my prayer should be, God, Holy Spirit, would you help me to grow in this character quality of love? Would you help me to have Jesus' love inside of me and flowing out of me? And then there's the fruit of joy that should be spilling out from us. Wouldn't you agree with me? The fruit of joy spilled out of Jesus. Watch this video clip here from The Chosen. See if you don't see the love of, or the joy of Jesus. Don't you think the fruit of joy just overflowed Jesus? I mean, people wanted to be around him. People don't want to be around a sourpuss. But they do want to be around that person who is spilling over with joy. And Jesus was that person. The reason he had joy in his heart and that joy was overflowing from him is because he had God inside of him. In fact, he was God. And one of God's characteristics is that of joy. And it was overflowing from the life of Jesus. And you see that here in this party. No wonder he's called a winebibber or a friend of sinners. Shannon was talking about that earlier as he welcomed us, saying Jesus is a friend of sinners. His joy was not because he had drunk too much wine. His joy was because of God living inside of him. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of joy was just overflowing from him. The Holy Spirit would like for us to have the fruit of joy growing in us and overflowing from us. And when that becomes the case, people are going to want to follow us. They're going to want to see how we're living and to be attracted to that. That was Thomas in the video there at the end. He's saying, Jesus has invited me to join him. And he's saying, I don't know what to think. She says, don't think. I think she could have said, don't think, just follow. We need to follow Jesus and let his joy be our joy. The fruit of the Spirit, what? Is love, joy, peace. What about the fruit of peace? Is that spilling out of you, or are you a worrier? I love the passage from Isaiah 26:3. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Wow. How often are we given over to worry? How often are we given over to the stress that just overtakes us? God wants us to have his peace. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. As the Spirit lives inside of us, as the Spirit sits on the throne of our life, peace should be overflowing from our life. Be anxious for nothing, Philippians 4:6 says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all comprehension shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace should be spilling out from us, even when things get difficult. How can that be? It can be because of the one who lives inside of us. The fruit of the Spirit is peace. What about your relationships with people? Are you at peace so far as it depends on you? Or are you always in a squabble with someone? Always fighting, always bickering, lacking peace in your relationships. As the Spirit is in you and as the Spirit is in me, we should be spilling over with peace. Peace with God, peace with our fellow man, and peace within our own spirit. And we could go right on down through this list of 9 character qualities, which we call the fruit of the Spirit. As the Spirit is in us, we should be spilling out all over the place with gentleness, with kindness, with goodness, with faithfulness, with self-control. Those are the 9 character qualities that the Spirit wants to grow us in. It is a very high calling for sure. Rick actually said this, and I think it's not only going to be on the screen behind me, but it's also, I think, printed in your bulletin. It's worth taking home and thinking about. He said, when people are full of the Holy Spirit, they don't have to tell everyone that they are. You can just see it in them. They are graceful. They are thankful. They are peaceful. They are joyful. When life collides with them, he just spills out. That's pretty convicting. And certainly, our prayer should be, dear Holy Spirit, will you help me to grow in your fruit? Would you help me to walk in the footsteps of Jesus? Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read from Galatians chapter 5 today, and we've seen this war, this battle that is going on over our souls, We know who the battles, who's fighting this battle. We know that there is a dark side and there is a light side. There's a good side. It's an unholy spirit versus the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would help us to say yes to the Holy Spirit. That we would refuse, that we would resist the unholy spirit. And God, that you would grow us in your character qualities. We need your help. We are desperate for you. If there's anyone here today not having surrendered to your son Jesus, I pray that you would convict that person. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.